Well, happy Monday to you and welcome back to the Drivecast. My name's Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint, and I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And we jump back into our series called Vice and Virtue this past weekend, where we're looking at this idea that every temptation is really an opportunity to display faithfulness. We tend to think about temptation like, hey, this is my opportunity for failure, but it's also an opportunity to follow, to do what Christians want to do the most, which is really just to please God. And so we're looking at these seven deadly sins. And this past weekend, we looked at the idea of wrath, as it's traditionally been called. More probably we would refer to that more as anger or bitterness. And this idea that sin is really a denial of the heart's real appetite. You know, Jeremiah says that my people have hewn out broken cisterns from their for themselves that hold no water. So what we've done is, according to Jeremiah, we have forsaken God, the fountain of living waters. In other words, we've walked away from God on the inside. And that's kind of intervention language, right? If you're going to have an intervention with someone, you'd say, hey, here's where you are. And so we've walked away from God on the inside. And because of that, we've turned our hearts towards other things that we think are more captivating, more dynamic, more wonderful than God is. And because of that, it's really left us parched in so many different ways. And so what we said this past weekend is that God is really, he's not supplemental to our lives. Rather, he's fundamental to our lives. That the only way to really serve God is complete devotion. That's why Romans 12:1 says that we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, which is our reasonable act of worship. The only reasonable way to serve God is complete devotion. And so in looking at this idea of anger, man, it's so difficult for us to deal with the emotions, the relationships, with forgiveness when something's taken from us. But anger is released in defense of something or someone, which is why, you know, not all anger is wrong. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 4:28 says, be angry and do not sin. There's a kind of anger, you know, biblically, that is released to defend something in the right way, right? We tend to refer to that as righteous anger. There's an American poet, Edward Abbey, who kind of borrowed this biblical idea and said, he who is angry at nothing loves nothing. John Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, said, unreasonable patience is the hotbed of many vices. In other words, there are appropriate times to be angry. Now, more often than not, our anger is not righteous. When you look at the narrative of Cain and Abel that we talked about, man, God, he is so corrective with Cain along the way. He's trying to help Cain understand that, man, sin is after you. It is crouching at the door of your heart. You've got to rule it. And that's one of these things. Anger is kind of a backwards form of atheism in some ways, and we've got to tame it. You know, most of our anger comes from this place of, well, you know, there's this thing that I see as injustice and God's not doing anything about it. So I'm going to have to do something about it. It's like a backwards form of atheism, like I said. And so Cain ends up murdering his brother, but really, ultimately, you know, his problem was with God. So these horizontal sins that we commit, they all have a vertical dimension to them. And I just thought the other thing that was interesting is, you know, just in case we don't know, we don't think that humanity is lost without God. I mean, we're only 3.5 chapters into human history in the Bible, and there's already a murder. And we are just so given to it. I think that's why Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, look, if you're angry with a brother or sister without cause, you've committed murder. Not that the consequences of those two things are the same, because they're not. But murder is really just organic anger. It's just anger physically expressed. And so that's why we have to deal with it on the inside, right? When it's small. I understand that there are difficulties. Everyone has their own story. And I think sometimes we say, well, I just can't fight. I just can't do it. I can't. And I would say, I think there's more there than what we realize in terms of our want to fight. I mean, you know, you'll ride to church on Sundays mad at your parents or mad at your kids or mad at your spouse, and you're just fuming under your breath. And as soon as you get out of your car and see someone, you know, you're like, well, hey, brother, right? We've all had that experience of being upset, and then the phone rings, and then you answer the phone. You're like, hey, how are you? I'm doing good. You know what I mean? I think sometimes we lack effort, not ability. And so just two things that we talked about when it comes to anger is really direct your anger towards the problem, not the person. Like, we need to treat anger, we need to treat situations and conflict in our lives kind of like an oncologist treats a cancerous tumor, right? We have to do whatever we can to shrink that tumor and remove it. Does the surgery hurt? Yes, but it hurts to heal. So it's not me against you or you against me. It's us against the problem. And then, you know, feel it, follow it, fight it. You know, we talked about sometimes in Christianity, Christians are kind of taught that, you know, they're not supposed to feel angry. I would encourage you to feel it and then follow it, like trace that anger to its source. I think that if we listen to James 4, where James says, what's the cause of fights and quarrels among you? You want, but you don't have. Like, James is encouraging us, follow that to the source. And anger a lot of times will reveal our idols, and then we fight through the forgiveness of Christ. As we see, you know, Christ's blood falling on the ground, it's the mediator of a better covenant, right, for us than the blood of Abel that speaks against us. That's what Hebrews 12 says. So I'm going to pray that into our day today, and then you take the opportunity to pray. God, I pray today that we will live from the position of forgiveness, that we will see over and over again, Lord, as we stare into the gospel, turn it like a diamond, see these facets of it, that today we will see you taking the wrath and the anger of God against sin for us. It falls on you so that it doesn't fall on us. And as we do that, Lord, as we do that with a sense of worship, it's just impossible for us to hold on to grudges. It's impossible for us to hold on to forgiveness and to receive your incredible love at the same time. So God, we're so grateful for it. And again today, we open our hands and we release any bitterness, any anger, any wrath that we're holding on to, Lord, because we want to be right with you and right with others. Now you take the opportunity to pray, maybe specifically about some things today, some relationships in your life that need to be righted, some forgiveness maybe that needs to be offered. And I'm prayerful for you today.